While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, it's a nice President's Day weekend. Not a lot to talk about, but I always like when we get to this point where we can do a little bit of predictive stuff. I feel like you don't get as excited when we do predictive topics, but I've got some really batshit crazy Heisman picks that I'm ready to throw out there that I'm ready to ruin your offseason already with. I'm kind of curious who you're going to come to the table with here.
Well, I will admit it depends on what you consider news. Now, college football, which we talk about here, and that's all we talk about all year long. Yes, yeah. We don't really have a lot of news. Maybe we could talk about the Ross Dellinger piece where apparently ESPN has not come up with a deal with the college football playoff.
Yeah, what was about
so wild about that? I actually, just for a brief moment, do want to talk about that out of the break.
Yeah.
I know we didn't talk about that, but ESPN reported that they did the deal.
That's the confusing part. I mean, that's the whole weirdest part about the whole situation. I don't know what's good. This is why I want to talk about it.
For clarity, yes. For people who didn't see, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports said that he had spoke with someone in the college football playoff committee and that they don't have a deal or even remotely close to a deal, allegedly, with ESPN. So that's what we're referencing here.
The article that he wrote, he even put a screenshot of one of the emails that came from one of the people that were involved in this. So that's the, you know, there's actual like clarification of there being some miscommunication here on if the deal had gone through or not. But I kind of want to wait to see what happens tomorrow morning. This feels like one of those stories where we hear from Ross Dellinger talking about it and he has information and then there's going to be some sort of correction either by ESPN, by the college football playoff directly. I have no idea what direction this is going in. I don't think it's bad. I just think that it's just such a weird, weird spot to be in for both sides.
Let's talk about that quickly, quickly out of the break. We'll touch on that very briefly. But, Joe, we do – it's not that – and you said that I don't like predictive stuff. No, I really don't, not this far out. Let me tell you why. Because there's so – we got such a long way to go.
Right.
Right? Like, we got portal, spring. So many things can change here. Does somebody get hurt? Does somebody not? Does somebody leave? Like, for example, remember last year when Alabama came out of spring and the rumors of Tyler Van Dyke heading to Alabama started?
Yeah.
You really think that we're not going to have something like that again?
Oh, we are.
Okay. But what if it happens this time? Right? Like, what if
– it's gonna.
Well, Tyler Van Dyke didn't leave.
Well, right. But I'm saying that you're saying that someone does end up leaving. I think that there are more unsettled – quarterback positions and more unsettled
things needs. Are way much up in the air this year around college football than what was perceived to be last year.
Yes, exactly. There could be a lot more action, and that's what a lot of people are talking about. Read any articles with recruiting analysts, transfer portal analysts. They're all saying that they think it's going to be a very active spring portal projection. So I mean, I can't wait for that. We're what, a week away from most of these spring practices kicking off?
About 2 weeks, yeah, the beginning of March. So a lot of Power 5 programs get started, which, you know, is great for me, you know, because, I mean, we're in the midst of baseball season. You got March Madness right around the corner. My Tigers beat number 11 South Carolina on the road. Jordan Wright to the cup and one bang. fighting Mac McMahon's. And you know what I'm about to tell you here, Joe. You know what time it is, right? College baseball's back, baby.
College. It still doesn't interest me.
When the first pitch was thrown at 11 a.m. on Friday, you want to know what I did?
What?
I moaned.
Oh, God.
I moaned.
I can tell that you moaned, Bill, by the way that you were acting on Twitter. You seemed very, riled up. You seemed very riled up on Twitter. I mean, be happy knowing you were excited. I will say that.
Yeah, and then you were just off playing golf. You know, you actually get an off season. I don't get an off season.
Well, you could take – there's time off in July.
You play 90 holes of golf.
Yeah, but I crammed it into 3 days. These are the only 3 days I'm going to get to – get to breathe. But I will say the golf was nice. I'm glad that we're back here, though.
How many balls did you lose?
So as I was tweeting about it, I was down to on the last day, I had lost like 18, 17, something like that. And then the first round that we played, there was just a crap ton of balls that were all clumped together in like a stream. So I fished all of them out. I got six there. And then on the back.
Oh, that's cheating.
That's not cheating. The second round, some landscapers found some balls, put them in a pile. It couldn't end more perfectly that I ended up plus 14 on the balls. So in reality, I only lost six. So we pretty good math there.
So you ended up with plus 14 balls. So seven guys.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response. You suck.
Well, it seems like you were the one sucking. All right. We got lots to talk about here. Our way too early 2024 Heisman Trophy winner, our first year expectations for Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko, Sean Elliott leaving Georgia State to go to back to South Carolina. We'll touch on that. But, Joe, I got to admit, this has been one of the better weeks of sports for me. Can I tell you why?
Why?
EA Sports. It's in the game. How good was that? How good was that? I've been practicing all day. Was that not
pretty
good?
That was pretty good. That was actually very, very good.
It's in the game. See?
The second one wasn't as good as the first one. The first one you nailed it. The second one was
okay. College football video game is back.
I guess the name's College Football 25, by the way. Is that what
they're not going to put? They can't put NCAA on that with the lawsuit. I mean, it's a name change.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm juiced up. To your point, I'm a little worried. Why? Because of what they showed us. It's very bare bones. Very bare bones. It's kind of something that you show in a teaser when you don't really have much of a game put together. I have a feeling that this could get delayed. I'm a little worried. That's all I'm going to leave it at that.
No, okay, so number one. EA Sports owes our good buddy David Waters from Gators Breakdown a massive apology. Okay, that's number one.
Which he sadly won't get.
Get because he broke the news and they completely poo-pooed on him. And then they came up 2 weeks later and then literally reported what he said was going to happen. Okay. Joe, they're pretty much done. From what I understand, there are certain things they can and cannot show until there's a rating in a teaser. So in a video game, did you see on the bottom it says rating pending? Apparently, from what I understood from Gator Dave's been all over this, they can only show like pre-production of what they've already done. Like some edits and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. EA Sports will not tease that game if they're not ready.
Well, there has been a lot of rumors on timeline here, and they could have just dropped that to kind of, appease the fan base and then see if they could rush this thing together. When that
was released, too.
I won't lie that I also was aroused when I saw that. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yes.
What's the first thing you do when NCAA comes out? It's not NCAA anymore. See, I keep saying it. When the college football 24 comes or 25 comes out.
See, that doesn't sound as fun to say. I think I'm playing Road to Glory because it's going to be the easiest thing to just like hop in and play and just hit the ground running and get distracted for like a whole day. Like, by the way, Bron, Eric, I'm telling you guys right now, those are my bosses at Believe. I am taking the week off when this game comes out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to take any other vacations. I'm sorry to my girlfriend ahead of time that I'm not taking her anywhere or going and taking any of my other vacation days. I'm spending 7 or 5 of those days playing this video game.
I am playing quick play, LSU, Notre Dame, and I'm going to kick your ass. I am going to whip their candy asses.
I'm not I am not going to play against you as the first thing that I do because I beat you, I'm going to get pissed off while I'm playing. Okay.
Why?
So I need to do so. I need to get out the fulfillment of getting to play it out of the way in the darkness of my room with nobody around. And then I will play you.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to let you know LSU is probably going to win 15 straight national titles.
You're going to run like the same 3 plays over and over again.
I do not do that. Actually, believe it or not, I'm a big play action guy.
I know you told me that, and I believe it. You seem like a big play action guy.
Big play action guy. By the way, very quickly before we get rolling, my nephews came over here the other day, and they don't play Madden or get the ability to play Madden. They wanted to reenact the Super Bowl, and so one of them gave me the controller against my other little nephew. It's actually Megan's nephews, but I guess mine too. We're married, whatever. Long story short, 3 plays in the end zone, all play action. And he goes, "How did you do that?" They call me. Okay. I am a wizard. I had Pat Mahomes, which was a cheat code, by the way.
Yes.
1000% cheat code, but nevertheless, that's why they call me the wizard. All right, let's get rolling. Joe, I did not write down what we're going to talk about first. Sean Elliott.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no. The college football playoff ESPN thing, quick, and then Sean.
Oh, yeah. But Sean Elliott and then Mike Elko and then our Heisman. I'm sure you're going to come with some off-the-wall craziness because you always do. You'll probably say somebody from the G5 will win it and they'll make it.
No, I'm not that much of a dickhead. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So I've got a good friends over at betonline.ag. But before we do that, everybody do us a favor. If you're on Facebook, hit the like and share. Joe, 20,000 views. By the way, you went viral on UCLA this past week. The UCLA Bruin fans do not like
they had fans. Who knew they had
fans? They're pretty pissed.
I guess they're on Facebook.
Well, they're pretty pissed on Facebook. One guy said that you look like Jeffrey Dahmer's accountant. But if you're on Facebook, do us a favor by hitting the like.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Like the page, AYA Sports. Share to all those groups. Share to all those social media pages. If you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. You go, well, it is what it is. You didn't even deny it, man. You didn't even deny it.
I've heard it too many times at this point.
I feel that. That was a bad joke by me anyway. Let's get to a quick break. We talk about college football next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
See, we did have things to talk about. Steve Sark, yes.
Oh, I wasn't raising my hand. I was turning my TV off.
Very quickly, Steve Sarkisian getting a contract extension at the University of Texas until 2030.
Did you see the details of his contract?
Let's talk about this very quickly. Okay. Go through some of these details.
He gets two cars.
Yes.
He gets his contract is paid to his LLC, so he writes off all of his agent fees, which I thought was really interesting. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Lots of coaches do that.
And then he gets a country club membership, and I almost tweeted this out, but I was like, I don't really feel like explaining this because it was going to be poorly worded. But what if he gets like theoretically fired? What happens with the country club membership? Like, does he get to keep it till the end of the contract? Does he get, like, is he no longer allowed to show up and he just gets his buy? Like, how does that work? That's the one thing that kind of.
Well, I think if he's losing in Austin, he won't be worried about going to the country club because too many people will run him out of there anyway. You know what that's really for. That's for his wife. That's for his family. That ain't for him. He ain't going to be in no damn country club. Maybe when he's done at night, he goes and has, you know, supper with his wife at the country club.
Going golfing, I'm sure. I mean, a lot of these coaches golf in the offseason.
Fine, whatever. But you know what I mean. I mean, other than some golf here and there, he ain't going to be there. Steve Sarkis, these guys will frequent it because the big boosters roll around there and they need their money.
Well, that's what I thought of, is that some booster probably gets him any, you know, easy scot-free, and then it helps him stay in contact with everybody that he needs to stay in contact with, maybe recruit some future boosters. But the amount that he's getting paid, plus the two cars, plus the private jet, plus the country club membership, is absolutely ridiculous. I would love for somebody to put together an article. I'm not an investigative reporter, or not investigative, just a reporter in general or journalist. I would love for somebody to put together an article of the craziest college football contract additional incentives. Because
gotta be Lincoln Riley.
I wonder what his compares to.
Yeah, but they're a private institution, so they don't have to release everything. I think it was $10 million for a house or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. He also got a private jet. But, Joe, what do you think about them extending Steve Sarkisian? I mean, this is a no-brainer. I feel like you got to extend him, that you make the playoff. Look, for what it's worth, okay, he has been the most – I mean, look, they've had some success here and there. I know they don't want to probably – for me to talk about some of their old coaches that they've had in the last decade, but Sark has definitely been the best that they've had. This is a no-brainer for them. And look, solidifying their guy, because look, what happens in 3 years? What happens in 2 years? Hell, what happens next year if a big-time program opens up and or even something happens in the NFL and somebody wants to come knocking for Sarkisian? I mean, you lock him up so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I think keeping him and locking him in was necessary, especially for the fact that this is the best that they've ever been in the past 2 decades since the end of Mac Brown's tenure as the coach. They haven't even come close, like anywhere within sniffing distance of winning a Big 12 championship game, being and getting to a national championship winning position. They were great. And then coming into this next year, they're potentially going to be even better, which is insane to say. But if Nick Saban doesn't retire, his extension does not look anything like this. His extension is not nearly as long. He does not get all the extra perks. He does not get as much money. I think that he had so much, him and Jimmy Sexton had so much negotiating power because of the Saban retirement.
I agree.
Despite what anyone wants to say, he was one of the people that was brought up and called about this. He was on the table. They had negotiation capabilities here to win this, and they got every last drop that they could have gotten out of Texas. So he owes Nick Saban a huge thank you for all the money that he just got.
Well, no, really he owes Sexton, because every Sexton client got paid more.
I mean, they all need to thank Saban and Sexton for
It's just Jimmy. I mean, because they would have gotten extensions, but probably not to this extent. I mean, Mike Martell got the extension that he did. Joe, I mean, look, Texas did have some success under Tom Herman when he was there, but obviously not the success that they're having right now under Sarkisian. I don't want to play devil's advocate here, because, you know, I could say, well, look, he made a playoff. What happens when he goes into the SEC? You know, is it – it's going to get tougher for him going into a conference where you're playing you're just basically in a juggernaut every week.
Yeah.
But they got to do it. I mean, he got you to the 14 playoff, regardless that you lost to Washington. And look, I know that some Texas fans weren't happy with that, but he got you there, and he's going to continue to get you there. Cause I think that they're one of the 12 best teams in the country, and they will be in the playoff again next year. So in back-to-back years, he's gotten you to the playoff. The one thing that I will I do worry about is when you give these massive extensions to guys who haven't won stuff, okay, at your program, sometimes
it could fall flat
on the face. But I mean, it does it really matter at Texas when you got a, your rival school now that you're going to be playing every year in A&M paying $75 million for a guy to go? What will Texas do? So I don't really think that. Look, you keep him here. Nobody's going to come and get him, and I think it's a good extension.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on it. Right, that's where this is ultimately like a weird conversation to have, because deserving of the extension, absolutely. It just would have looked so much differently if Nick Saban was still coaching in Alabama right now. The numbers would not nearly be where they are.
Well, I mean, look, for all the things that have been rumored around Sark since he's been at Texas, the hotel room being one. I think this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. All right, Joe, look, very quickly, let's move to this ESPN thing. So Ross Ellinger reported today that ESPN has not officially come up with a deal or completed a deal with the college football playoff on an extension, the 6 years, $7.8 billion. He actually writes here in a memo sent to his ADs, MAC commissioner John Steinbrecher, a CFP management committee member, says reports of the CFP agreeing to a TV deal is incorrect. But ESPN reported this. They reported that this deal was done. Why would I listen to the MAC commissioner?
Well, the MAC commissioner is one of the people that's the
ESPN said the deal was done. I mean, this if this guy were like over the college football playoff committee, I'd be like, okay. He's just a member.
This is why I'm a little bit slow to jump in on the deep end on what the heck is going on here. I will say, considering that they're in a position where they still have to meet to make the final determinations on the payouts for the conferences and the amount of auto bids and moving forward with making it a 5-7 auto bid playoff, the fact that they still have to vote on that is why I was even surprised in the first place that the numbers in the media rights deal, all that stuff, was put out there and confirmed to have been agreed upon without there being clarification on some of these things. So I want to wait until that decision is made, and maybe all of the numbers that were thrown out there for the new media rights deal are just going to be reiterated, and it's going to be on par with what we thought it was. It's just, it's strange. I'm not in the boat of wanting to discredit the MAC commissioner, because I'm sure that his opinion and his insight is accurate, but something clearly happened between Wednesday and now that led to either a souring of a conversation or a miscommunication that occurred here. Maybe, was it Thamel who tweeted it? Was the one who reported it originally?
Yeah, and Thamel works for ESPN.
Maybe he just pulled the trigger too early. Maybe somebody told him, hey, this is about to get signed. And
ESPN would have told him hey, take that down or do whatever.
I would argue though, doesn't it look worse if this is on like the 2 yard line? Don't you think it looks worse on ESPN's part? If
the CEO of ESPN tells Pete Thamel, run this, we just got a deal done, why wouldn't Pete Thamel run it?
That's the.
And let me ask another question. Are you going to deny $7.8 billion? Do you know how big of an idiot you got to be to reject ESPN's offer? And who
I don't think it's on the playoffs end. I don't think that it's like a rejection on.
Well, he said in the article that we're not even remotely close.
In terms of the negotiation number, I think that they just haven't agreed to any of the terms. That's what I read into that.
They don't have to agree to terms for another year. Can I just say something? Well, no, they do. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anything from the MAC commissioner.
I don't think that has anything to do with this. He's just a part of the board. Like, what?
Yeah, but being a part of a board doesn't mean that the CEO of ESPN and the people that are really actually running the playoff aren't having conversations.
Now, he's now, running the playoff. He's a part of the
No. The way that this article reads is that ESPN is not talking with guys like him. They're talking with specific, like, two or three people, okay, that run the playoff to get the deal done. He's not, he's a part of voting yes or no.
Okay, so then the way that I'm understanding this is that individuals in the college football playoff decision-making committee agree to something without presenting it to the rest of the board. That's how I'm now reading into this the way that you just explained it.
No,
and that makes,
they vote yes or no. He's right on, I did not vote on this deal. What he's not right on, okay, is, at least in my opinion, okay, is that he's not a part of any deal making.
Yeah, right? He's not in the negotiation
process. He's not in the negotiation. So they could have a handshake deal. Hell, they could have an agreement in principle, which I dare the playoff to back out of telling ESPN that they don't have something. Look, I don't care where the game's played, what channel it's played on. I don't care how much money they're making. Like, it is what it is. But this is the – you know, can I just – final thing for me on this. This is what happens when we're not playing games. God, love them or hate them, I'm not saying I do or don't. Dan Wetzel, Ross Dellinger, all these dudes, whoever, name them. There's always some bullshit that comes up during the offseason. This is just the start of more bullshit. You know, Joe, do you notice how NIL and all of the all the crazy bullshit that happens with conferences realigning doesn't happen during the season? There's no reporting on it ever.
Yeah, because there's no time for any of those conversations to really be had.
Right. I wish we would get to there.
Well, this is the reality of it. We have to have a non-playing portion of the year. I mean, the shit's going to get stirred.
Talking to the MAC commissioner.
That's what I'm saying here.
Hey, let me tell you.
I'm just going to wait until the end of next week to see what comes of this, because like I think this is a bunch of nonsense. That's what I should have opened with. I think this is a whole bunch of bullshit. I think a bunch of people are just saying shit to say shit. Buddy wanted to contribute to the conversation, so he did, and we got his contribution.
You run the MAC. The only thing that you need to worry about is football on Tuesdays. Anything outside of that, the MAC is irrelevant.
Hey, man, there's some really good football going on in Ohio and Michigan. Don't hate on Eastern Michigan.
Sure,
and
on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Sounds great.
I say we give the MAC an auto bid.
When it comes to big dog, big daddy football, I don't want to hear somebody from a G5 conference.
Give the MAC an auto bid.
Table, eat your chicken nuggets and french fries. Go eat your McDonald's. You got your Happy Meal. Go sit down and shut up. This is big boys or grown ups are talking right now. Go shut your ass up.
I still don't know if I'm going to take it that far, but I agree with you. This is a bunch of bullshit.
Okay. All right. You know what isn't BS?
What's that?
Well, actually, I guess it depends on what angle that you're coming at this with, Pauls. Sean Elliott is leaving his head coaching position at Georgia State to be the next tight ends coach at South Carolina. Joe, your thoughts on Sean Elliott leaving Georgia State to go back to South Carolina?
So when you read into this, this is pretty family related. It's not anything that is abnormal in the coaching world. He talked about how he made a promise to his daughter,
who is abnormal.
Yeah.
Keep going.
He was living away from his family, who was living in Columbia, South Carolina. He had stated that he made a promise to his daughter, who's a senior in high school, that he wanted to be near his family and promised her that he would be there for her senior year. He even mentioned in his statement that he had contemplated just straight up not even coaching, and this opportunity opened up for him. So former offensive line coach, he knows how to coach the tight end position. I'm not really totally reading into the fact that we've got another sitting head coach in the G5 leaving, and he's leaving for a pretty big demotion in the coaching tier and on a coaching staff. He's going to be a couple rings down the ladder. What I will read into this, though, Blake, is that it is now easier than ever for a Power 5 team to steal a G5 head coach to fill any position on their coaching staff. I think that this is adding into that narrative that we've talked about this entire offseason. I look at exactly what Alabama just did and Kalen DeBoer just did with his defensive coordinator fill in and some of the other spots that he filled in on his coaching staff. I think that this is going to continue to happen. This does not relate anywhere near to what happened with Chip Kelly. That is a completely different animal. But this, to me, just continues to fill that narrative that if a Power 5 team wants to get a really, really strong coaching candidate to fill their coaching staff, it's not difficult for them to do so.
I feel horrible for Georgia State because you know who else he made promises to?
Those kids, those recruits.
Every recruit, every player that is coming in or coming back, okay, and you're about to start spring. Joe, they moved their spring game.
Right.
I mean, and then in the article, which you alluded to, him saying that he contemplating not coaching football. When did you contemplate that? December, when you should have stepped down in the first place? Listen. Okay. Sean Elliott's a really good coach. His running back, Carroll, got poached and went to a better program. Okay. Kid was electric this year, had like over 1,500 yards, is going to be one of the guys that you as an NFL draft guy talk about next year. Dude's an outright stud. He got paid a lot of money to go somewhere else. Bottom line.
Yeah. Okay.
But the problem with that is you can use the NIL, you can use the transfer portal excuse. All right, that's fine. Don't you dare, as someone who is married with children, myself, don't you dare say, I wanted to be there for my family, my daughter, because you could have made that decision in December. You are putting, and Joe, listen to me. Coaches will not tell you this, but it's the truth. A lot of times you put other people's children above your own in coaching. That's how it goes a lot of times. And you don't, it's tough, okay, because you don't want to put someone else's children above your own. I anything for my kids, I will do. But if you're having that decision, you're saying you contemplated not coaching, when did that happen? Because you made a decision to bring in a recruiting class, to tell guys that you will be here for next year and let's go win a title and let's go win our conference. Joe, they're having to cancel spring practice and a spring game. I got to tell you, we talk about players, we talk about NIL in the portal. I have been on from the rooftops screaming this. We talk about timelines in college athletics all the time, mm-hmm. Right? We got to have timelines when coaches can and cannot move. We have to, because this is absolutely – Joe, if a coach, which, by the way, and I will admit, a really, really good friend of mine got hired from a G5 to a P5 to be a position coach today. Okay? Ecstatic for him. It's different because he's not a head coach. He's a co-DC secondaries guy. Yes. He's going to Miami now.
Yeah.
That's fine. When you're talking about head coaches, that's a completely different scenario. And that this, as much as NIL has to stop, and Joe, this has not been the first time that I've said this. Joe, we were in the offseason last year, and late head coach, and not maybe head coaches, but late coaching decisions, okay, and I was like, well, wait, how are you going to put limits on kids when they can and cannot transfer? Because we were talking about portal windows, but yet you can have a head coach step down before a spring game is about to be played to go and be a position coach somewhere else. I could sit here, Joe, and talk about the move. It's a great move for him. It's a former head coach going to be a position coach. Shane Beamer knocks it out of the park by hiring Sean Elliott and him going back to Columbia. But let's not act as if that this is you cannot say that what Chip Kelly did was a crappy move and not say the same thing for Sean Elliott. I'm fired up about this. I'm sorry, last part.
You're good.
Fired up about this because, Joe, there's 85 kids plus on that Georgia State roster whose world overnight gets completely changed by this decision.
So you bring up the other part of this that needs to be discussed, and I actually didn't even see anyone really talking about this. Why the hell in the year 2024, I have never seen this aspect of coaching changes before ever. And I know that we've never had the transfer portal. We've never had NIL. But why the hell are we in this spot where coaches, clearly, call it what it is, Sean Elliott will never admit to this. Why do they wait until after signing day, after certain periods of time, in order to better position the next coach or to not lose out on kids changing their decision for recruiting and guys not entering the portal and all that? Because those guys that could in the 30-day window on Georgia State's roster could enter in the portal, but they can't because it's impossible to transfer now that the semester has already started. That's right. A cluster F. They could leave after spring ball. What is with this current wave of coaches, head coaches, that decide to leave, and even coordinators? It happened with Ryan Grubb. It happened with Chip Kelly. Why are they waiting so long in order to better position the university when in reality they're screwing over these kids by not being direct and honest with them? And we know that they're not being honest with them because the perfect example is Ryan Grubb. What was it, a booster meeting that he was saying that I am the offensive coordinator of Alabama football, talking about the future, talking about what he's going to be doing. And Apparently 30 days prior, he had already committed to being the Seahawks offensive coordinator. There is such a lack of honesty in an era where we constantly, and I will continually bang the table for this, constantly criticize kids for making decisions to make money and to do various things during this current era when the coaches have been even more dishonest than they've ever been in the history of college football.
Correct. And let me ask you this question, Joe. I went and looked at this before when I knew we were going to talk about this. What about Derek Maxey from Coastal Carolina, the safety, who's looking to be a draft-eligible guy who leaves Coastal to go to Georgia State? Yeah. Joe, what about the over 10-plus transfers that they brought in? Joe, they brought in 10-plus transfers. So anytime during that conversation, what are we talking about here? All right, we're talking about a situation where when you're recruiting these guys out of the portal, how did you not know that you weren't going to leave? You got 13 commits out of the portal. Now, you lost some, and I understand that, okay? You lost Robert Lewis, your top wide receiver, to Auburn. You lose a couple of kids. You lose Marcus Carroll to Missouri, okay? You're big-time running back. Joe, I got to see front row and center when they took on LSU this year. Marcus Carroll is going to go to Missouri and be a beast. I get that. But you also went in the portal and got 13 kids, okay, along with the guys that you had signed a letter of intent. Sean Elliott, okay, for me, you're going to be look, he's – Joe, about just talking about him as a coach on the field – he's a massive addition for South Carolina. And I think South Carolina secretly, Joe, has had a somewhat decent offseason. Right? To their standard, they have had a decent offseason. Look, you get a good running back. You know, what can Sellers do? You bring in some offensive line pieces here and there. They haven't had a bad offseason. Now you're just bringing in another head coach who can be there for Shane Beamer. Hey, Coach Elliott, what do you think about this? It's a massive addition. He's been there before, so it's a massive addition for Shane Beamer. I just hate that we are in February, okay, 2 weeks into February, Joe, on Valentine's Day. Like, 2 weeks into February, and this decision's being made. And shame on South Carolina for allowing it to take this long. Now, they don't have to wait on anything. It doesn't affect you know, doesn't affect them. Okay, they have a coaching opening. They go get a head coach. Good for them. Great hire by Shane Beamer and the staff. I loathe everything about this. And South Carolina fans are going to be mad at me. And that's fine. I don't care. But it's deeper than Sean Elliott. Right? Like, it's not necessarily even Sean Elliott's fault. I mean, he's presented an opportunity, okay, and he takes that opportunity.
Oh, wait, actually, I disagree with that aspect of this. It is his fault. He knew he was thinking about this for enough time.
Wrong verbiage.
Yes, go ahead.
What I meant by that is it's not his fault that the – what I tried to meant to say was it's not his fault that he has the right to leave at this time, in this moment. Yes. Yeah. Okay, my bad, but you're right.
I get what you're saying. I do not fault him for prioritizing his family, but you had the ability to make this decision as soon as the season ended. I mean, as soon as your regular season was done, I forget if they played in a bowl game or not. I believe that they did. You should have been thinking about that during that span. You should have been talking with your wife. You should have figured it out during all of that period of time. There is absolutely no way that from now until, or from that period of time, from the end of the last semester to this point, a few weeks into the current semester, maybe even a month into the current semester, it should have taken you this long. He clearly was making phone calls. He clearly was trying to make a move to get to a school that was closer to Columbia, South Carolina, and he probably was talking to Beamer this whole time. Just be honest. And I know that that's an impossible request to make for a college football coach, because in the history of college football, they're some of the most dishonest people in the sport. They constantly tell kids and recruits to expect the best and they're going to get on the field early. In reality, they don't mean a goddamn thing about that. They're going to do whatever is best for them. But we're at this point now where it's just getting worse. This is something that we talk about, finding solutions and how certain negative things in NIL, how we could fix it, transfer portal, how we could fix it, recruiting, how we could fix it. This part of the sport, I don't think that we can. I really don't, unless, like you said, you can't make a coaching change. You can't leave your current job if
head coaches can't leave their job after February.
Well, I was going to say, if the second semester starts, you're stuck. You have to stay.
That's tough, because if you wanted to ever go after a coach in the NFL, and let's just say for whatever reason, they are in the Super Bowl, okay?
That's a good point.
Okay, 2 weeks into February, I'm or get an exemption, or you know what? Let there be a scenario where a contract signed and you give it to the NCAA. Okay, this guy's going to be our next head coach. There's so many different scenarios that can play out here, but January 31st has got to be a cutoff date for head coaches to leave.
I agree.
Got to. Now, Joe, I say that, but we got an expanded playoff. The season's going to be longer now. Before you know it, let me tell you what's going to happen. Before you know it, we're going to have coaches leaving mid-February or early February, because there's a scenario where a Kalen DeBoer plays midway through, okay? Not a Saban type, but let's just say, for example, who's an older coach?
Mac Brown.
Okay, there you go. Jinx, pinch, poke, you owe me a Coke. Mac Brown, God bless his soul, gets to a Final Four this year. Not going to happen. Stay with me, though. But he wants to retire at the end of the year, and he retires. Okay? Joe, it's January 15th. He doesn't really tell anybody. Then what? Okay, it's another week when they hire a head coach. You're pushing February. So now you're just extending it even longer.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people realize that the final is played on January 20th next year.
That's my point.
It's going to get worse.
Kalen DeBoer, let's just say, please God, don't let this happen. Or let me give you an example. Let's say Ryan Day leaves for the NFL, and Marcus Freeman, okay, who is an Ohio State alum, wants that job, but he's in a national championship game. And on January the 23rd, 24th, 25th, okay, you're in a place where, all right, he wants to go back to Ohio State. It could be mid-February before you have a head coach.
We're going to have this happen.
Maybe not that far,
No, I actually think that there is a very realistic possibility that first
by the
week
way,
of February
the
we have
already
a coach.
Started. By the way, the semester's already started.
Yeah.
And guys that you brought in from the portal and all the high school recruits, we blame the kids all the time, but heaven forbid a coach can do whatever they want. Suck on a cow's titty. I don't care what anybody tells me, Joe. It is everything is against the player and not against the institutions, the organization, and the coaches. I'm sorry.
I will say that a million times over on this show, and I stay consistent with this. I'm just consistently sick of the bullshit where we hold 20-year-olds, 19 and 20-year-olds to this high standard of how they conduct themselves, but we don't hold that same standard for grown men in their 50s who are the head coaches. It is one of the biggest hypocrisies in the sport, and it's bullshit. It sucks.
Yeah. All right. Timmy Martin says, Joe, what's your thoughts on Notre Dame commit Deuce Knight?
I don't understand why everybody thinks this kid's going to decommit. He's not the Okay, wait. Am I going to finish that statement because somebody's going to pull that clip. I don't think he's going to decommit. I think that it's a little ridiculous this early in the process with really no reporting. And all I have seen is people speculating on Twitter because he's at a camp. That means he might be open.
They said Lane Kiffin coming.
He's been recruited by all of these major programs. He has had interest from all of these major programs.
They said Lane Kiffin told him Marcus Freeman doesn't even know how to run an offense. He doesn't even know how to spell offense.
Mike Denbrock, your boy Mike Denbrock, probably says to him, "You want to win a Heisman Trophy?" I'm just saying, Mike Denbrock, all he's got to go is how many Heisman Trophy winners has Lane Kiffin produced?
Actually, two.
Who? You're right. Shit. but regardless, Deuce Knight's skill set mirrors not super closely, but closely to Jaden Daniels. I mean, he could pop off if Denbrock's still there when he gets there.
I agree. Don't. Okay. First off, don't compare him to Jaden Daniels. All right. Second off, don't do it. He doesn't run like Jaden.
He doesn't run like him, but he's still a really good athlete.
Do not compare him to Jaden Daniels. Lane could have another Heisman Trophy winner this year.
Did you steal my pick?
I did. I think I might have. All right.
Okay.
But let's do this. Let's get to a quick break. Let's talk about Mike Elko's first year expectations, though. Let's talk about our good friends, though. You're going Jackson Dart. Are you really going Jackson Dart?
No comment. I have no comment.
Oh, man, I thought I was going to get one over on you. Okay, let's talk. Let's take a quick break. Talk about our good friends over at Homefield. We'll come back. First-year expectations for new Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko. We talk about that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today.
By the way, Texas A&M fans don't like me.
I know. When I texted you this for a topic, I was thinking that I know that you're not on really good terms with them. So let's see how this goes.
Yeah, they hate me. All right. So Joe, we started this last year and we'll continue it through this one. We go around and do first-year expectations for new head coaches at new places. Today we end on, or we start with, or continue on, excuse me, with new Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko. I kick it over to you since the A&M faithful do not like me as much, even though I stuck up for them all year long. What do you think about the first-year expectation for Mike Elko?
I feel like a lot of people are quickly jumping to the conclusion and the expectation that Texas A&M is going to be bad because they lost guys like Evan Stewart. They lost Walter Nolan. They lost LT Overton, Jake Johnson, guys that were blue chippers that were recruited by Jimbo Fisher. I'm pretty bullish on what Texas A&M could be in 2024. I'm excited about Connor Weigman coming back, because I think we were just starting to see the beginning of what he could be as a player in college football. Reuben Owens got a little bit of glimpses of him as a true freshman. He's going to be a really talented back. Their portal haul, outside of Nick Scowerton, who I freaking love, going to be a first-round pick in next year's draft, did a really nice job drafting a ton of really talented defensive backs for a team that are not drafting, getting a bunch of talented defensive backs from the transfer portal. For a team that was as bad as they were in pass defense, they deserve, and he deserves recognition for doing that. For some reason, my barometer for success has kind of come down to talking about what Hugh Freeze did in his first year. I look at a bad roster that Hugh Freeze had last year, had a really good portal haul, and was able to get them in a position where they could play competitively with Alabama, and they were able to go 6-6. I look at this Texas A&M roster, and I look at a more solidified quarterback position and a very high-ceiling offensive coordinator in Colin Klein. I think this team can win 7 games. I know that that is not a good year for them, as some might say, but 7 wins is doable with the schedule that they have before them.
Yeah. Look, I do think that they've added some really good pieces from the portal. Let's see what a guy like what Dez Ricks can do, the DB from Alabama. You talked about Purdue. Help me.
Nick Scourton.
Nick Scourton, thank you. You talked about Scourton. You talked about some of the portal additions that they have. I do think, Joe, that they will be a very much more or a very tough team to play. I think because of the personality of Mike Elko, even like they were at Duke. Joe, look, they might not be as talented in some areas. You don't want to play a Mike Elko team. I think that they're, I think that a realistic take as of right now is an 8-win ball club. I think they can get to 8 wins. Now, you talked about something very crucial here. Okay, when I look at this Texas A&M schedule, okay, moving forward this upcoming year, I don't think it's you know, some people have said for whatever reason that it's easier than they anticipated. I don't necessarily agree with that. Look, you got to go – or you got Notre Dame game one. I don't think you can win that.
No, no, no. Okay, there should never be a take that anyone thinks that Texas A&M is going to beat Notre Dame. They're not.
Well, I do think that it will be interesting to see Notre Dame go into the South, into Texas, hot, humid. Joe, it's hot now. It's hot in August. I do. You ain't.
Notre Dame's going to be fine. Notre Dame's going to be fine.
Okay. All I'm saying is you ain't experienced that heat. All I was trying to say is you got McNeese, but you go to Florida, okay, on September 14th. Ben Hill Griffin is not an easy place to play as Tennessee. But you got Arkansas, you got Mizzou, you got Mississippi State, LSU, South Carolina. You know who I hadn't read off yet? Alabama or Georgia. Now, you got some good opponents like Missouri, you got some good opponents like LSU, and then you face off with Texas at the end of the year. But you got a lot of winnable games inside the SEC now. And there's a path where you get to 8 wins, and I do think that you've brought in enough talent with Trey Watson, with Dez Ricks. You brought in Scooby Williams, the linebacker from Florida. Joe, they've added a lot of really good pieces here, and I could see them getting to the 8 at ceiling, 9 wins. Now, I'm going to tell you, if Mike Elko gets them the 8-9 wins, it's not necessarily the wins. It's how you get them and how tough you are doing it. I think that this will start to turn some things for him, or that program, excuse me.
Right. Floor for me is 7. I think that like
if you I think would 4 or 6.
I'm and again, I'm very bullish. I think that Elko is steady enough of a coach that he's not like Jimbo. He's not gonna completely blow up in games where he's supposed to win and falter. And I just look at the fact that they got a draw of a lot of teams that are trying to really figure out their footing right now. And they can take advantage of that. And I know that Texas A&M is trying to figure out their own footing in their own situation, but getting to play Arkansas with everything that's going on with Sam Pittman, and I know that Florida and having to go and play at Florida, like you said, I believe it's at the Swamp. Still, it is very messy right now what's going on with Billy Napier. South Carolina, things have not been great, and Mississippi State is going to be tough for Levy's first year as he's trying to put that roster together. I think that they got a really, really favorable draw, and they've got a really easy non-con schedule because they deliberately scheduled 2 G5s and an FCS team. That is going to help them. 8 wins is within very realistic striking distance if they can pull out one upset, which Elko has done. Elko has done that as a head coach at Duke. They would have beaten Florida State this year.
Who are the upsets, though?
Clemson. And I was just about to say, they would have beaten Florida State this year if Riley Leonard does not get hurt in that game.
If my uncle didn't have a penis, he'd be my aunt.
They were winning that football game. They were winning that football game.
I agree. But look, it's different. It's different, though. Even going to Florida State.
I get
going
that.
To Auburn, okay? Going to South Carolina in November. Coming off of Cocktober,
you say coming off of Cocktober, so outside
of Cocktober, no it's pause.
It's not in Cocktober, it's outside of Cocktober, which means they're going to beat them.
True. Okay, fine. Missouri, LSU, at Auburn, you got Texas coming into town. Joe, I could see five losses.
I don't disagree. Again, I don't disagree with that. They're not beating Notre Dame. They're probably not beating LSU. They're probably not beating Texas.
That's six. So
they're probably not beating Missouri.
So you get to a place where high ceiling, low, very low. I say very low floor, but low floor. You don't know how Mike Elko is going to react to being in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium or being at Auburn. I mean, Joe, you could cake in three losses.
I'm flipping that. I think it's high floor, low ceiling. Like the reason why I'm saying in a low ceiling in this situation is only a couple more wins than what the floor is. Like there is no realistic chance they get to 10. They're just not. They're not going to get to 10 wins. Nine is even a push. Nine is like a very hard push for them. There's this really small window where I see them being 7 or 8 wins. And I think that is realistically attainable because what he is as a head coach and what he was as a defensive coordinator is a very physical, grind you out type of a coach. And he has, as much as I like Riley Leonard, I think a better offensive situation with Connor Weigman coming back. And I think that Colin Klein.
Right, with Colin Klein as OC.
We saw what he got out of Will Howard and Avery Johnson. I think that we're going to get a really good rushing attack with Reuben Owens. Here's the only thing I will say.
They got talent now. They got some talent.
The only thing that could seriously, seriously bite them in the ass, it's not going to be their defense. It's not going to be their defensive line. It's not going to
be their O-line.
I was going to say it's going to be their receivers. Their receivers stink. They're Anais Smith and Evan Stewart, their top guys, are gone. They don't have, I think, the next leading returning guy in the receiving room in terms of production is like 500 yards. Might be less than that. Their receiver room stinks.
I mean, I can't necessarily completely disagree.
They don't have any returning production. Now that, yes, do they have highly rated recruits, some of them are still sitting around there? Yes, but none of them gotten onto the field, so we don't know what any of them are capable of.
Is Muhammad still on that roster?
That is a very good question. That is a really good question.
Football roster.
D-Tech C&M football website is not cooperating with me.
I don't know. Somebody in the comments will correct us.
Wait, really quickly to the receiving yardage point. Their top three receivers this past year was Anais Smith with only 795 yards.
But at the end of the
Day Walker and Evan Stewart.
Year though, they were having to go to a third string, fourth string quarterback. I mean, Weigman wasn't there. Max Johnson got hurt.
I believe Moose Muhammad is still there.
If Moose Muhammad is still there, that kid can flat out ball. That kid can play. I mean, come on now. I don't disagree. I do think that they feel that they can get there, but they have not won 10 games but twice. Okay, since 1998, I look at them as a team that, look, you got to give them this now, Joe. They got a lot of talent, though.
That's why I'm in on them.
Yeah, I think that you look at a guy like Mike Elko, who's a tough-nosed guy, that's bringing in a lot of talent, they're going to upset somebody they're not supposed to. But I think they're going to lose to somebody they're not supposed to, too. And year one under a head coach in the SEC is not easy.
No.
It's not. And he's got
That's why I bring up Hugh Freeze, because Hugh Freeze
pulls
out six wins.
No.
When he wasn't supposed to.
No, he was supposed to.
No, come on. Everyone was saying Auburn was going to be the worst team, one of the worst teams in the SEC. Everybody said. They won six games. That's an accomplishment with that. That roster sucked. That roster that they had last year was dog shit. That was a bottom two roster in the conference. They had one good football player that's going to go into the NFL. That was DJ James. The rest of that team was dog shit. And they had to go fill gaps in the portal. They had to go fill gaps in recruiting. They're still not there. Six wins with that roster is a miraculous performance.
I love when you get really excited. They were dog shit. They were dog shit.
They were.
Yeah. I wonder if Georgia and Alabama thought they were dog shit.
They played them close. They weren't supposed to. Brian Harsin would have gotten blown out by 60.
Brian Harsin was coaching the team. I will tell you this. I don't think they go into Auburn late in the year and pull that and win that game.
Yeah, I think that's a loss. I do.
Yeah. I mean, listen, things get weird in between the hedges in late November. All right.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, you want to talk about the – I mean, I guess we've already talked about this NCAA football game, right?
Wait, do you want to – what do we do with the Heisman pick? Should we do that tomorrow?
Oh. Let's get to it.
Okay, actually, let's do it today, and then we'll do the NCAA thing tomorrow.
Okay. So, Joe, our way too early 2024 Heisman Trophy picks. Who do you got here? I'm going to tell you I got a secret one. I think you're about to steal it from me, though. But who are some of your early way too Heisman picks that you could see winning it in 2024?
All right, I'm throwing these on the table. As you said, way too early, which means we can be as ridiculous as we want to. So many things can happen. From now up until the start of the season, we've got spring practices. We're going to find out who's really hot. I've got three, each for a different category here. Carson Beck is my no-brainer, the guy who is going to be the favorite coming in. Might not actually end up winning it, but ends up going to the podium. Your C.J. Stroud, if you will, that is going to be talked about, and then maybe just ends up coming in second. But if there is a guy that makes the most sense at this point to win it, it's going to be Carson Beck. We get made fun of for glazing the guy, but the Georgia quarterback looked really good for a lot of the most important games that they had last year for a guy in his first year starting. He is an older player than people realize. He's experienced. He's been around national championship winning teams. And I think that this upcoming year, he's going to take an even further step in his progression of becoming an elite player in college football. I mean, heck, he was so good this past year. Some might have argued he would have been the fourth guy or fifth guy that didn't get invited. And he could have been in that convo if it wasn't for the way that he didn't play poorly in the SEC championship game. But if he hadn't finished the season a little stronger, might have been a little bit of a different conversation. The one that you're claiming is your sleeper pick, I think is my, this could be the guy who has a really crazy start to the season that no one's really talking about. Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. All in on Jackson Dart. I had people on Twitter who were giving me shit saying that he was going to even start this past year. He has all the tools and the makings of being a really good college quarterback and then a guy who plays well in the NFL. I think that he throws on the run. He's built to work effectively in this Ole Miss offense. And I think the way that this team has been bolstered through the transfer portal, he is in a position to lead them to the playoff and to win a game or two in the college football playoff that is going to help the cause for him winning the Heisman. And then the last one, the long shot, unexpected guy, and then I'll let you throw yours in here. The one that I think that there's always one guy that it's like, where did this guy come from? Avery Johnson from Kansas State.
Oh, my God.
Was that also yours?
I hate you.
Okay. My quick reasoning, and then I'll let you go. The guy's unbelievable. He's so electric. He's so goddamn electric.
That people, and because he's going to be in the Big 12, he's going to put up ungodly stats in the Big 12.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, and you know who else is going to do it too?
Who?
You know who else is going to put up ungodly stats? Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody's going to be like, oh, shit, Shedeur Sanders threw for 40 touchdowns. You're playing a crappy conference.
With no defense.
Good.
But no defense. Now, I think that Kansas State's winning the conference. We already said this.
I'm not going there. Utah still exists. Cam Rising.
He's not winning the Heisman. I like them to win the conference, to go to the playoff, and for Avery Johnson to just blast his way through the conference as this they've gotten weaker and weaker every single year. The guy is electric. He's going to rush for 10-plus touchdowns, and he's going to throw for 30-plus. I think he's got just – he checks every box for just the crazy guy that comes out of nowhere that every week we're going to be like, did you just see what Avery Johnson did? Did you just see what this guy did? He is so freaking fun to watch, and I'm hoping that he lives up to the expectations.
All right. I'm going to give you a couple of mine.
Okay.
And I got to admit, I'm going to give you one that where I want to talk about that I know that you don't want to. All right. Joe, number one, I'm going to put Will Howard in that conversation. I'm going to put him in the conversation because they're going to be undefeated. I think he's going to throw for 30, 35 touchdowns. Okay, through 24 last year. He's going to have so many more dudes around him, and he's going to have Chip. He's going to run the football. Look, there's going to be situations where, Joe, I could definitely see a scenario where he's got more than he's got double-digit rushing touchdowns at the end of the year because I think they don't play a tough enough schedule. I think they're going to be completely loaded. I will put him outside looking in, even though, Joe, did you know that he's third in the Heisman Trophy odds as of right now?
Which is stupid.
No, it's not. Can I tell you why it's not? I think you're way too low on him.
He's J.J. McCarthy.
And J.J. McCarthy was Joe, hold on. First off. Don't you dare compare him to J.J. McCarthy when he's got lesser talent around him and he would have completed some of those passes that McCarthy didn't. By the way, did you see this outright dog shit on Twitter that people are saying that J.J. McCarthy, they're hearing from NFL people, he's a top five pick? If J.J. McCarthy is a top five pick, I will eat a hat.
That is early draft process smoke in order to get a team to trade up. That's what that is. So, for what? They want a team that's picking in the top 10 wants a team picking in the back end of the first round to freak out and think, oh my God, we're going to miss out on our guy. We have to trade up. That's what they're hoping for.
Somebody's guy in the first round? He's not a first-round quarterback.
He's not, but there's going to be a couple of teams that like him and then are going to get baited into trading up so they don't miss out on getting him.
I'm telling you right now, and I can't say it because I know somebody's close to the door and he's four years old. ASS. Can you say that word out loud?
Ass. That's dog shit.
All right, well.
All right, okay, outside of Will Howard, who else you got?
I'm going to throw this out there to you. I know 1,000% you're going to hate it and you're going to call me a homer. I think Garrett Nussmeier.
I knew you were going to do this.
I think he's going to throw for 35 plus touchdowns. And because of the way that their schedule lines up, I don't know, Joe. I don't know. I think that Brian Kelly, this is what I believe. I think from an offensive line, they got two first-round guys that they have there. They're going to run the football a lot more effectively. But, Joe, the last two times that we've seen him in significant action, he threw for 300 yards and a half against Georgia, and he threw for almost 400 yards in a bowl game. He's going to put up stats. Now, the problem is going to be that I don't think LSU is going to win enough to get him over the hump there. He's going to make dumb decisions late. And you don't see guys, okay, historically from the same school win it back to back. So for that reason, I do think he may be out there. Go ahead.
My only quick take on that, I think the more realistic thing for him is to play as good as Carson Beck did in 2023.
I agree.
It's a lot of similarities. Older guys that have not really played that much.
I agree.
That have been around and are on good, you know, quality teams and good offenses. I'm not saying that Garrett Nussmeier is not going to be good. I don't want to dip my toe into the Heisman convo with him yet because I just think there's a lot of variables. New offensive coordinator,
Jesse, he beat two first round corners. Who was the guy that was the corner for Georgia that year? Who was a first round pick?
Keely Ringo wasn't a first round pick, but he sucks. But yeah, he cooked Keely Ringo
twice.
And Kamari Lassiter is going to be top 50 pick.
That was the Malik Nabers, who's going to be a potential top 10 pick. That was the Malik Nabers come out game. All right. Here is my big sleeper. You ready? I do have more than Howard, more than Nussmeier. I am really high on Miller Moss. From USC.
Really?
Yes. I went back and watched the game today. Can I tell you what I think?
Can I tell you something? Do you, Joe, do you have those times where there's a better player, but a team is better? Okay. Even though, like, you lose Caleb Williams, but the team gets better after he leaves. I think Miller Moss runs Lincoln Riley's system better than Caleb Williams does. And because of that, I think that they are going to surprise some people. I don't think that they win a lot in the Big Ten. Joe, he's going to put up ungodly numbers.
I just think, though, for a guy on a – it's a lopsided roster. Their defense is still not in a position for them to win. A guy like that has to put up – they're going to lose four games. You have to put up Jaden Daniels-type numbers in order to win the award. And I just don't know if Miller
Moss... Are you 1,000% sure that he can't? Not rushing. He can't do it rushing.
Well, that's why he's not going to have any of those rushing totals. And the rushing totals is what propelled Jaden Daniels further. The whole argument for Jaden Daniels was supported even greater because he had all the throwing stats. And on top of that, he had the stats of one of the best running backs in the country.
He legitimately stopped Will Howard from transferring there. He pushed out Malachi Nelson. The kid can play.
I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I just – it would take a lot for a guy like that.
Did you feel like Miller Moss – did you feel like USC's offense was more in sync when he was there versus Caleb Williams? Yes or no?
A little bit. But the counter to this, though, is it is still an important piece for the Heisman Trophy. In order to not be on one of the best top five teams in the country to win the award, you have to be like Jaden Daniels. Miller Moss is not Jaden Daniels.
No.
So for
nobody in college football this year is Jaden Daniels.
For him to even get to the podium, he has to win 10 plus games. And I just don't think it's realistic in the first year in the Big Ten in a new conference where they've never played these types of teams before, with as bad of a defense as that they're going to have, and a lot of guys that they had offensively moving, a couple of guys moving on to the NFL. I just, there's a lot working against USC.
All right. Can I end it with one that you don't want to talk about, but we have to?
Go ahead.
I'm throwing a lot of like crazy names out of here. Okay. Cause you took all my other ones. I really think Carson Beck's a front runner, just being honest. Okay. Like I think Carson Beck is the front runner for the Heisman. Can we have a conversation about Shedeur Sanders?
I think it's plausible. I really do.
Because he's going to be in conversations. I do think that they're better in the Big 12. I do think they're better as a team. Okay, even though I went stupid on Deion last week or whenever it was, and I don't like some of the things that they do, okay, Shedeur's going to put up a crap load of stats, man. He's got a lot of pieces around him. Amarian Miller, the freshman wide receiver last year. I mean, dude, he's got pieces. He's got a better offensive line around him. He's got some running backs. He's got all the ability. He got Travis Hunter, who, by the way, Joe, if Travis Hunter stays healthy, then what? If the kid has 7 picks and 10 receiving touchdowns on the year, is he not going to be at the podium?
I think that Travis Hunter has the more realistic shot out of the two of them. And I think that Travis Hunter...
You know why he won't? You know why he doesn't? Because Shedeur moves the meter more than Travis Hunter does.
But Jabril Peppers' numbers, when he was a part of the conversation, really weren't like anything crazy. They were really good, and it was unique.
You know, he just dominated like Chase Young did.
Right. And I think that Travis Hunter, if he outperforms – that's the meter. If he outperforms Jabril Peppers' numbers and he stays healthy the whole year, yes, there is a path for him to get there. I just think a lot of times with quarterbacks – it's hard for me to fully invest in those guys winning the Heisman unless they're on a really good team. And as we've said, Colorado's not a top 10 team.
No, they're not. They're not. But look, he completed 70% of his passes last year. He threw 27 touchdowns. Joe, the biggest thing for me for a guy like Shadur, he threw three picks. Yeah, I mean, on a really, really bad team, okay, he was a really good decision maker. Cut all the bullshit aside. When he gets on the field, he can play. The question is, can they get to 7 or 8 wins? Can they get to 9 wins? Joe, if he gets 9 wins, he can win it.
That's a big if. It's a really, really big if.
Massive if.
The other part of this, too, though, is that kind of the media makes this decision. You know, the media really plays into this decision.
And so they're going to eat up
all
the content. Joe, let me tell you something. Shadur Sanders, stay with me. He could win 8. He could be the first Heisman Trophy winner in the modern era to win 8 games and win the award.
I think it's plot. Him being in the convo, it makes a lot of sense to me because there's just going to be so much media coverage. It's going to be like last year, but on steroids, with the amount of coverage that that team gets. Because of that, that is going to give he is going to get a boost on his performance, even if it's not, and he's a great football player. So when he plays great, he's going to get a little bit of a bump that's going to help aid him into that convo of getting to the podium and maybe being that third or fourth guy.
Well, let me just say this, okay? They got North Dakota State in week one. I know that you're an FCS guy. They're going to beat North Dakota State. They go to Nebraska, and I'm going to be honest with you. They're going to beat Nebraska.
Yeah.
They're going to beat Colorado State. They're going to beat Baylor. I don't think they can beat Central Florida nor Kansas State. They can beat Arizona. They can beat Cincinnati. They can beat Texas Tech. The back part of their schedule is really tough. They got Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. That part's really tough on the back end. But, Joe, when we're talking about these conversations, okay, there's a very realistic scenario that going into, the Utah game, they could be 7-1. No team that I just mentioned is head and shoulders better than them before they get to Utah.
We're placing a lot of optimism.
Kansas State.
We're placing a lot of optimism in their defense.
Oh. They suck. All right. Yeah. You're true. That's true. All right. We will see y'all again tomorrow from myself, Blake Ruffino, other co-host Joe Danione. Good show, man.
Good show. Long one.
Yeah, that's what she said. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.